Good morning. Pretend that Joy's not here. She was supposed to be gone, and that's why I was doing this. And then when she decided she wasn't going to be gone, she said, oh, do it anyway. So here I am. Okay. My sermon is called Expectations. Expectations. Webster defines it as a strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future, or a belief that someone will or should achieve something. As humans, we have expectations. That has been a way of thinking for a long time, as long as man's been on Earth. The word is often accompanied with disappointment. This is defined as sadness or displeasure caused by non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. Expectation is different from hope, and we use them kind of interchangeably sometimes, but hope is the desire for something to happen, something we want. It's a wish. Expectation is something you think will happen. So they're slightly different. In Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." According to a commentary by Kaufman, at the time of Jeremiah, expectations were being raised by false prophets that the captivity in Babylon would end soon, maybe within a couple of years. But God had other plans. This captivity was to punish the rebellious people of Israel and bring them into right relationship with him. So he planned it to be long. Jeremiah tells the Israelites that they're going to have to just cool it. He says, you need to settle down and make the city prosper. The people were upset because their expectations were not being met. So the Lord tells them that he has plans for them. I had expectations for what my life would be like. I would marry. I would have 2.5 children. My husband would work at a good job, and I would be a teacher. It would be just like my parents' marriage. Well, few of my expectations panned out. God had other plans for me and my life. Now, I have a wonderful husband. I worked, but not as a teacher. I had no children. I have a very busy and full life. I'm very happy with the way things turned out, and I understand now that it could not have been any other way. I think many of you can identify with that. Unfulfilled expectations happen to everyone. It all depends on how you react. That makes a difference as to whether it's good or a bad thing in our eyes. Expectation requires trust. The question is, who are you trusting? Yourself? Someone else, or some institution, or God. When you walked into this building, you have an expectation based on experience as to what the service will be like, how many songs will be sung, when we will pray, when the sermon will be, how long it will last, all of that. If it doesn't happen that way, it can be disconcerting and may make us very unsatisfied. You expected Pastor Joy up here and not me. We expect things to turn out the way we have them planned, and then we're disappointed if they don't. How often do we do that? We have expectations of our relationships, of our jobs, of ourselves, of God, that do not necessarily match reality. When we love someone, a spouse or a friend, we often expect them to make us happy. We have expectations that they will take care of us, fill the emptiness in us, always put us first, and many other things, but we are often disappointed. We turn against people because they do not meet our expectations. I feel that many relationships fall apart because of unmet expectations. We love, and then we don't. We expect Prince Charming on the beautiful white steed and get an ordinary guy with a 1985 Volkswagen Beetle that makes us forget everyone else. Or we expect the beautiful model with the killer figure and instead get the smart, funny, pretty, not so perfect woman that makes our heart skip a beat. When we have expectations of other people, we need to stop and think, are these godly expectations or my expectations? Our expectations for our jobs are often not fulfilled. We expect to be appreciated and valued, patted on the back for doing a good job, paid well, and many other things. We do not just work for the joy of doing a good job, for the personal satisfaction of knowing we have done our best. In Colossians 3:23-24, it says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." It says, whatever you do, being a friend, cleaning your house, working a 9-to-5 job, taking care of your children or grandchildren, mowing the lawn, we are doing it all for the Lord. That really puts a different spin on our expectations, doesn't it? In the Bible, there are many examples of expectations unmet. Throughout the Bible, as we know, the Israelites rebelled against God and his prophets when their expectations were not met. Moses led the slaves out of Egypt. They had expectations about freedom. They didn't expect to have to suffer before they got to the promised land. They rebelled. They complained. In Numbers 11:4-6, it says, "The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, 'If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna.'" They did not stop to think that they were free of oppression, that they could only see the things, they could only see that things were not as they had expected. They were saved from the Egyptian soldiers and crossed the Red Sea unharmed. But they could only see that they were hungry. They were fed, but they complained about the food. We do that. Do we do this? We only see the prayers that God did not answer in the way we had expected. We often do not see the things he provided instead. Having expectations often implies control. We want to have some control over the end results or feel that we have some control. This is not the case, particularly with God. God's agenda is not ours, and God's plans are not ours. Let's look at a few other people who had expectations of God. How about Abram? God told him he would have descendants more numerous than the stars. God made a covenant with Abram. Abram believed God at the time. The Lord promised that a son from your own body would be your heir. When God did not meet Abram's expectations, he and his wife took things into their own hands. Now everyone blames Sarai for being impatient, but Abram could have refused the offer of the servant to bear a child. Genesis 16:1-4 says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, 'The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her.' Abram agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived." His expectations were that the promised heir would arrive quickly. He became impatient. Do we do that? I know I do. My sister-in-law had a magnet on her refrigerator that said, "God grant me patience, and right now." Aren't we all a bit like that? And because of Abram's lack of trust in God and unfulfilled expectations, he produced Ishmael. And we all know how that turned out. When our expectations are not met, we are tempted to manipulate things and to try to get what we expected, or we sometimes settle for something less than what God has planned for us. How about the prodigal son? What were his expectations? By Jewish law, the younger son would have inherited 1/3 of his father's estate. Normally, he would have had to wait until his father died to collect this, but he knew if he asked, his father would give in. Also, the father knew his youngest son, and though it was a risk, he hoped it would teach his son a lesson. The son's expectations were that life away from the farm and all its chores and hard work would be so much better. I'm sure city life looked glamorous. As the saying goes, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. How can we relate to this? How many times have we thought, if I only had that car, I'd be happier. If I only had that promotion. If I only had that house. If I could only retire. Only to find what we got instead of happiness is disappointment. That so often happens to us. When we are disappointed in our expectations, we become angry and upset. We do things we're sometimes sorry for. We quit a job. We get a divorce. We try a get-rich-quick scheme. Because we don't look to God, these things are bound to fail. We don't pray or even talk to others God has put in our lives. We just act. On Palm Sunday, we commemorate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. He had known from the beginning that the day was coming. He knew that at some point, his work would be done and he would be going to the cross. The disciples and his followers did not know, even though he told them many times. They had different expectations. As he rode into the city, the people greeted him with excitement, throwing their cloaks and palm leaves on the road ahead of him, shouting for joy. They had expectations. Their expectations of the Messiah had been that he would be a conqueror, a leader who would free them from oppression, who would lead an army against their enemies. They had expectations. They did not remember the miracles he performed, the good he had done, the wisdom he had provided. They did not seem to notice the humble man on a donkey riding into the city. They saw what they wanted to see. Maybe they saw a soldier atop a white horse or on a chariot. And when he did not meet their expectations, they turned against him and called for his death. We love and then we hate, just like the Jews did with Jesus. They loved him and followed him when they thought he would fulfill their expectations. And then they called for his crucifixion when he didn't. Our expectations are often selfish. It's what we want, not necessarily what God has planned. In each one of the illustrations from the Bible, the person in question was acting selfishly. The Jewish people looking for a savior from Rome, Abram looking for a legacy, the prodigal son looking for an easier life. We can all identify with these people, and there are many more examples in the Bible of unfulfilled expectations. We need to remember that God has a plan for us, even if we don't see it at the time. He sees the larger picture. I'm not saying we can't have expectations or shouldn't have them. That's being human. But we need to put our trust in God and not in the world or ourselves. We expect a lot from God. After all, he promised to be with us always. Does it feel that way all the time? It doesn't for me. When my expectations are not met, it feels like God is a long way off. But he is with us even when our expectations are not met. He didn't say we'd always be happy. He said he would be with us. He's loving us and teaching us. That's sometimes the hard part. But he is always there, even if we don't see it. Think of all the times we have unexpected things happen. A phone call from someone we hadn't talked to in a long time. A refund check we didn't know we were due. The kindness of a stranger. Sudden relief from pain. When our plans fall into place, these are from God, his plan for us, showing that he is with us. Remember, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Let's try to remember that when we have expectations, Let's try to remember that when we have expectations and know that when we are disappointed, God has a plan for us.